Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Thursday morning. We will have Predators assistant coach Darby Hendrickson joining us at 7:30. Preds back in action tomorrow on the road, taking on the Colorado Avalanche. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports will be with us at 8 o'clock for his weekly visit. We will get into the Titans head coaching search with him now that it appears John Harbaugh is off the board. The Giants are set to hire John Harbaugh. Looks like Todd Monken going to be the OC. And the reporting is that while the deal has not yet been signed, that it's looking like a five-year deal for John Harbaugh with the New York Giants. Joe, the deal hadn't been signed yet. They're already talking about when the introductory press conference is going to be, which apparently is next week. So there you go. No deal yet, but press conference next week. Soon.
So, like, we continue an hour later, we still have set to hire John Harbaugh soon.
Man,
I want to see what Schefter. What is Schefter's official explanation for the Packers and LaFleur right now? How is that framed?
Well, we've talked about the head coaching vacancies. I mean, what if that one falls apart? I mean, I guess the odds would still favor them reaching an agreement, but they've been working on it since Monday. It's Thursday. It's a head coaching contract. Like, it shouldn't be that hard to figure out if you're trying to work out an agreement there. And here we are, and they haven't done it yet. So does it get to a point between LaFleur and the Packers where they're just like, yeah, man, this ain't going to work. We're just going to have to go our separate ways.
Yeah, like, what are your beat writers saying? They can't just, like, is everybody just kind of in just total limbo right now? Yeah, it's a little weird, man. It's a little weird. I don't want to get your hopes up, but interesting.
Well, now I don't know who they'd hire. My target's gone. So
yeah, that's true. That's true. Harbaugh's out of
It's like, oh, okay.
Well, they kind of not that he was going to sit there and wait. He was already talking. You know, he was probably going to go with either, if not the Giants, probably, I guess, one of the other two teams. But I mean, Harbaugh just. Maybe it kind of speaks to what Diana said yesterday. She was like quickly like, nah, Packers, I don't think so. I mean, so I don't know.
Well, if he shakes free, does he move to the top of the list for Titans fans? Like, if LaFleur is, now that Harbaugh's spoken for, if LaFleur and Green Bay, for what, I mean, I know LaFleur's got another year left on his deal. So, I mean, the Packers would have to, like, not only not sign him to an extension, but then consequently fire him, which I guess could happen. Does that
he might say fire me.
He might say. Right? Yeah, he might.
He's like, well, if that's what you guys think of me, then let's just
go ahead and get it done.
Separate ways, worlds apart.
He might.
Journey.
We'll see what happens. Does he move to the top of the list for Titans fans out there?
I would think so. And
I would think so, too.
I guess I'd put him first on mine. I think you've probably, like, ruined me a little bit on Matt LaFleur.
I told you he'd be good hire here.
With your constant complaining. But, yeah. No, I think you'd have to feel probably, again, I've just come to this thing where I actually think Mike McDaniel's, like, really, really smart and better at all the stuff that people think. And so I'm very intrigued by him at a place where he doesn't have some of the challenges he had at Miami.
You are really warming to the Mike McDaniel idea.
Yeah, I really am. Again, it's funny because I said the other day, and I still haven't gone out and found it, but there was like this Dolphins player who played there who had this impassioned, you know, endorsement of him, basically saying, like, he handles things really well. Because he does seem like a no BS guy. I understand he's nerdy and he's made some jokes sometimes. They're like, yeah, that one didn't really land. But I also don't think he doesn't seem like a BSer. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he just seems like, just like straight shooter. You can be a straight shooter without being Vrabel and, look at my lip, everybody. You know, I think McDaniel is better at the big picture stuff than people think. That's just my sense of it. I guess I'd put LaFleur first.
I'm just thinking back to the Vrabel stuff. Remember all the reporting around it? Was like, was it Diana and some others? Like, yeah, some general managers are like, is he too big?
That guy scares me.
If you go from Vrabel and in 2 years get down to McDaniel, It's like, oh, well, don't have to worry about that anymore. It's all good.
I like this guy. I can throw him around like a rag doll if I need to.
Mike, if you give me any lip, I'm going to punch you in the face. There's nothing you can do about it.
Amy gets him in the full Nelson.
I can do that with the floor too. So there you go.
That is true. Yeah. Wow. What if like McDaniel and LaFleur had a little slap fight? Who would win that?
That's a good question. I don't know.
I'd go with McDaniel.
Titans have gone from the conversation of like, hey, if the head coach is in the league, got in a fight, like the final three probably end up being like some version of Dan Campbell, Robert Saleh, and Vrabel. And now you have the opportunity to go to maybe LaFleur or McDaniel. Be at the bottom of that list.
I'd beat you in the quiz bowl.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. I really do think, again, it's almost like a little bit different with like McCarthy. I mean, look, I think McCarthy just kind of seems like a bump on a log kind of thing. Like, and there is something to the whole, you know, step off the bus and, you know, that's a ball coach type thing, you know. But, yeah, man, I think I think McDaniel is going to be a successful coach in this league. And maybe it's an opportunity right now. And, again, I just think the OC thing for him is going to be hard to overcome Detroit if that's going to be his job next year. Another thing with all this, if Chris Shula is just blows them away, and it's like, this is a guy.
We're not even entertaining the possibility of that happening anymore.
But I'm open to, and I understand probably a lot of the fan base wouldn't love it, but I'm open to that too. And obviously it comes down to their ability to read people and their instincts on all this stuff. Or I guess Borgonzi's more than anyone, I think. But like that, again, look around the league. Look around the league at all the success stories where that's what happened. A coordinator blew somebody away, and they hired that coordinator instead of an established head coach.
Albert Breer putting this out there 10 minutes ago says, the Titans will move forward, have an interview with ex-Cowboys/Packers coach McCarthy set for Saturday, interviews with Saleh and ex-Cardinals coach Jonathan Gannon on Sunday. Ex-Browns coach Kevin Stefanski remains a very strong candidate with the Tennessee Titans. So let me just go on record and saying, the worst possible hire, Jonathan Gannon. Don't hire him to be your head coach. They're not going to. I think that's very much a would you like to potentially be DC type thing.
Yeah.
But when I saw that they were interviewing him, I was like, oh, okay. Jonathan Gannon, huh? The only thing that came to – I don't know if you guys have seen this. Go look up the videos of, like, Jonathan Gannon meeting Cardinals players for the first time when he got hired. It is one of the weirdest things I've ever seen. Wow, he just starts making random buzzing noises. He's like – bzz, 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 like right, it's the weirdest thing. I'll show it to you off the air.
Is it like the bee that was bothering the fake bee that was bothering Adam Gase at his
press
conference?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, it's a very interesting deal.
Okay.
Yeah.
Weird. Yeah, I do feel like the Titans, maybe more than I've ever seen, it's like half of their quote unquote head coaching interviews are actually just coordinator interviews.
Yeah.
Right? It's like how many
happens when you go 20 deep.
Yeah, if you're on this list, you have to look around. Like some of these people have to be looking around and be like, they're not actually interviewing me to be the head coach, are they? But I guess
if you're Jonathan Gannon, what are your expectations? Like, are you really expected to be interviewed, like taken seriously as a head coaching candidate right now?
Yeah, you would not think so. I mean, crazier things have happened, but yeah, I wouldn't think so.
Let's head back to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Mark in Nashville to the program. Mark, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Yeah, good morning, Robert. What's up, Joe?
What's up, Mark?
Breaking news, Joe. Bill Parcells is going to be the next head coach of the Tennessee Titans.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, Bill Parcells. Put it down on paper, man.
I mean, how much older than Bill Belichick is he?
Not that much.
Now, Joe, I'm intrigued with Mike McDaniel, too. I think he's a good coach, man. Now, does he maybe need to go be OC 4 years? Show some explosive offense, put up some good numbers, and get another shot. Maybe they got him linked to your Detroit Lions, Joe. Dan Campbell needs an OC. Maybe he'll bring in a Mike McDaniel.
I think they'd love to.
Yeah, I think if they get him up there, they're not going to let him leave the building, Joe. I mean, I hate what happened to the Titans. I knew Harbaugh, Robbie. I knew Harbaugh wasn't coming here, man. I just knew it. And I hate that they got disappointed. They didn't even get off the runway. to get to Baltimore to talk to this guy. So, I mean, Robbie, you keep talking Matt LaFleur. Robbie, I like Matt LaFleur. I'd put him at the top of the list if Green Bay lets him go. I believe Green Bay would be making a huge mistake if they let Matt LaFleur go. He's a good coach. Now, did he make some mistakes down the stretch with the team? Yeah, but they had a lot of injuries. And Robbie Haftin, our defensive coordinator, he needs to take some blame for this too. It's the defense that got exposed. Now, I know they lost Parsons, but they choked in two big games against Chicago this year. And, you know, I don't know, man. I like Matt LaFleur. I know you want to see him gone, Robbie. But then, Robbie, you want him here with the Titans. I mean, what gives with that, man?
It's two completely different situations. It's a Super Bowl roster in Green Bay where he has constantly underachieved. I mean, it's two completely different situations. The Titans are in basically the beginning stages of a rebuild and trying to mold a young quarterback. They've got their quarterback in Green Bay. They've got their roster in Green Bay. The Titans are not there at the moment.
So he's a coach who can take you so far. There's coaches like that. He can take you so far, and then the Titans would be thrilled to have a quarterback develop like he's done and win.
Yeah, exactly. So I think it's a totally different situation.
But I'm like you though, Rob. I do think, and Joe, I do think Mike McDaniel is going to be a great coach in this league. I mean, he's got an innovative mind. He's one of the best play callers there are. But I don't know if his time will be this year. Like I said, maybe he go to the OC or another team and show explosive offense and get some more recognition. I believe his next time around, the real Mike McDaniel will come out. But I hope they, you know, Nagy, McCarthy, I hope they don't deal with any of those coaches. They're recycled coaches, Arthur Smith and all those guys. But, hey, man, it's cold out here this morning, Joe. I still hadn't got my coat.
Get that Carhartt going, baby.
Yeah, you get me that Carhartt. I can get that Carhartt going, Joe.
There you go.
Hey, man, y'all have a good day and stuff.
Thank you, Mark.
We're going to get on up this road. All right, see you, Robert.
Thanks, Mark.
We will take more of your thoughts at 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, some developments yesterday that make you look at this upcoming draft class at the quarterback part of it and think, boy, how bad could this one be? We will get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. The Game Nashville Sports Network, your home for the College Football Championship. Monday night, catch all the action on 102.5 The Game and 94.9 The Fan as number 10 Miami takes on number 1 Indiana. College Football Championship coverage on 102.5 The Game and 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks and Parman Tractor and Equipment. Taking your thoughts. Speaking of college football, so Dante Moore has elected to come back to Oregon next year, Joe. So, which, good on him. I actually think that's probably the right move for him to go back, play a little bit more college football, continue to develop and get better. But it does leave you looking at the potential quarterback class here in this year's NFL draft. I think everybody feels good about Fernando Mendoza going pretty high, probably number one overall. And then beyond that, what's it going to be? Now, Ty Simpson, we had a conversation about Ty Simpson, you know, last week about could he be Tennessee's next quarterback, and we've seen some numbers kind of roll out since then. Apparently Miami was interested in Ty Simpson, and all these other teams are interested in Ty Simpson, and he has since made the decision that he's going pro and he's going to be drafted. You know, right now, I mean, to me, he's clearly the number two quarterback. Question is, how high is he going to go? This is, you know, we've talked about some bad quarterback classes over the last few years. And, you know, we talked about with Cam Ward last year, obviously the baby hands draft with Kenny Pickett going number one overall. There have been a few that have been not overly exciting heading into the draft process. I don't know that I remember one exactly like this one where it's just like, okay, it's Fernando Mendoza, and then I guess maybe Ty Simpson could get drafted relatively high, and then who in the world knows? After that, what do you make of how the NFL draft class at quarterback is looking like it might shake out here and how that could affect what we see coming up in the draft?
Yeah, maybe this ends up being like that draft and it's like Mendoza goes and that so that draft was, what, Baby Hands at 17 and that's it, right, in the first?
I believe that is
correct. Which is just amazing. But maybe this is like Mendoza first, and then you wait a while.
By the way, it was 20th for Pickett. So that was, okay. It was 20th, and that was it in the first round.
Yeah, that was Malik. And who was the third guy?
Let me go find the whole class.
Sorry. Yeah, I should remember that. But there was a third guy, too, that was talked about as, you know, again, it's like, well, these are the top quarterbacks. And usually, huh?
It wasn't Ritter, was it? No.
Actually, it may have been Ritter. You may be right. Yeah. Desmond Ritter. And he went in like second or third to the Falcons, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's like, I mean, I remember there was that many people that year that were like, well, it's quarterbacks. It's the NFL. Like, they're all going to go in the first round. Well, no, they actually didn't. I'm really fascinated with Ty Simpson. I think that he has the talent. I think he's going to do great in interviews. I think the back thing, obviously they're downplaying it. Of course they are. But if I'm a team, I'm definitely I'm a little worried about that. You had to take epidurals before game. You know, like I'm a little worried about that. I'm definitely going to – that's a huge – but if the medical clears and everything, then, I mean, I think he'll probably go in the first round somewhere. Is it to the point where it's just because of quarterback neediness – that he's just going to go in the top five? I mean, right now, if you force me to guess, I'll say yes.
Well,
I don't know.
When he was healthy this year and playing well, I mean, we were talking about him as potential number one overall. Now, I understand things can change, and, you know, Mendoza's played great since then, and obviously you mentioned it, the epidural stuff and the injury concerns with Simpson are going to be – they're going to come up in the draft process here. But I just wonder – what that is going to look like, even beyond those two. Like, I think Simpson's going in the first round. I'm interested to see where he goes in the first round. What about after that? Like, who's the next guy at quarterback? You know, is Carson Beck going to do so well for himself that he gets his way into a first-round conversation?
Someone asking that in a text line, and
I heard Mel Kiper say that.
Is that right?
Headline around there. If Carson Beck plays well, he could, I don't know. I think he said, like, sixth. Sixth overall, something like that.
There you go.
Yeah, I don't know. Possibly.
Pavia?
Yeah, if he comes out and somebody's asked about him too. If Carson Beck comes out and is just great against that wagon of a team and beats them on Monday night, he helps himself. Like, you can't ignore it. And, again, I think Carson Beck he can make the throws. He's got he's pretty athletic. He's good size. Why not? You know, it just – so you have to think about him. Yeah, people ask about Pavia. I mean, I think, Chris, you know, I assume you're joking, Pavia first round. Kenny from Spring Hill, do you think he's moving up? Well, you take a quarterback out of the mix, right? I don't know. Again, Pavia, I think, is going to be – he's going to be a third-day pick. What does that mean? I mean, I'm guessing sixth or seventh round. But we'll see. I mean, the Senior Bowl for him is – and, you know, Dane Brugler, at some point we were slacking last fall, and he's like – or it might have even been – last year, but
humble,
he's like
humble
this,
brag.
This, yeah, I know. Yeah, hey, Dane, hey, come on, give me your information in personally. Thank you. Yeah, nice name drop there. But no, he said like the Senior Bowl, or the, you know, the whatever he's in, if he's Senior Bowl or whatever, that's a big deal for him. Just so people can see him, you know, again, measure him. I mean, he's short, you know, and talk to him. I think he'll help himself because he's good. But, like, you know, he's going to be – I'll be shocked if he's higher than the sixth round.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Higher than the sixth, I mean, you never know. Could he go, like, fifth round? I guess I wouldn't be stunned by that. But, like, if you're thinking that he's going to go, like, second, third round, I would be pretty stunned by that.
That'd be a stunner. That'd be awesome.
Oh,
and
I'd
again,
love to see it.
Like, the whole story is, you know, going to be – like the Senior Bowl and the combine, like all of it's going to be fascinating to watch with him. And then he'll probably help himself, but then someone's going to be like, yeah, but he said fart to voters. I think he'll overcome that. His brothers they got arrested. Sorry. Should have saved that for a rant. That would have been good. Oh, well.
Wonder who that'll be in the NFL. Ah, your brothers are running around out there trying to evade the police.
You can't. How can you? You're playing in a game, but you can't keep your brothers from drinking beer? What's wrong with you, man?
615-737-1025
is our phone number. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Darby Hendrickson, Predators assistant coach. Preds are back in action, coming off a big win against the Edmonton Oilers. They'll be back at it tomorrow, taking on the Colorado Avalanche. That's coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Thursday morning. Preds with a large win the other night against the Edmonton Oilers. They're back at it coming up tomorrow, taking on the Colorado Avalanche. And to help us talk more about that, we head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Predators assistant coach Darby Hendrickson to the program. Darby, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. Good morning to you guys. How you guys doing?
Doing awesome, man. Good. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. So, absolutely. So Darby, I want to start with your captain. Obviously, the offense is coming for him the last couple of games. He's got 3 goals, 5 points in that span, the game winner last time out against Edmonton. And Stamkos was talking in the locker room earlier this week about how it's not a coincidence that basically ever since Yossi's back in the lineup that you guys have played really well, you've won a lot of games. So what do you make of just the way your captain is playing? He's closing in on 1,000 games, all in a Predators uniform next week. What sort of a driving force has he been for you guys during this stretch?
For sure. He's been a huge part. And I would say just being on the outside, it's my second year in Nashville. You know, Roman's a guy that plays dynamic when he skates and almost plays fearless. You know, but creates that offense. That's, you know, he's the straw that stirs the drink, you know, and that's always kind of been, I think, the key to the Predators when he's been here. There's been a lot of other parts, a lot of other people for sure, but he's got that dynamic to his game. And, you know, when I was here last year, he wasn't healthy. So there was inconsistency probably of him being in the lineup, him feeling how he could feel. But I would say over, especially the last couple of weeks, it's the Roman Yossi, you know, it's a guy that wants the puck. It's a guy that is not afraid to make a play. And obviously, you know, the overtime goal the other night, but just the games before where you see him being him, carrying the puck and playing with confidence, or you can call it that chutzpah. He's got that mojo. And when that's happening for him, it's good things are happening for our team.
Yeah. So how would you describe like that trickle down effect? But I guess both, you know, on the ice, technically speaking, but then even, you know, psychologically when he's going like this.
Yeah, well, I mean, when I look at our team, you know, we have our veterans. We have Forsberg, O'Reilly, the Stamkoses, you know, and then on our defense, you know, we have Roman. Roman would be our key leader back there. We have other veterans in Brady Shea, you know, Pervix and Hegg and Blankenberg, Willsby, these guys. But, you know, Roman would be the guy that I think experience-wise is, you know, going to be vocal on the bench. He's going to be vocal in the room at times that are needed to be. But he's also going to be, you know, take action. And I think those are the things that are needed where you grab it. And, you know, when you have a guy of that stature, you know, who grabs it and now you're contributing in an offensive way that we know he can, you know, it's a great feeling.
You know, guys were talking about this in the room the other night about the, you know, the standard that of making the playoffs around here that has been created. And look, it's no secret that the season did not start great for you guys, and you guys have found your way back into the mix here in terms of making a push for the playoffs. So knowing that there's still a lot of work left to be done, how gratifying to be back in that spot where you're right in the mix of things right now for the playoffs, given the way things started this year.
Yeah, I know, it's definitely credit to these players, you know, and, you know, we've had, I mean, it's a different year for sure. Obviously, of the Olympic year, every team that the schedule's condensed, and we've gone to Sweden, like Pittsburgh, so it's even more. But it's exciting. There's a ton of games. We don't get a ton of practice time. And there's almost three phases of the year. One is kind of you get to Christmas. Then there's a little break that we had. Then from there, it's kind of the break to get to early February, which is the Olympics. And then after the Olympics, it's really the push to get to, you know, early April, where you're fighting for that spot. And I think the big thing for us, we've tried to be consistent here over the last month and a half and, you know, be on the higher end of each week of, you know, getting W's. But the, you know, the big thing is we got to stay together. We got to battle. You know, there's sort of a big group of teams in the West. You know, there's 5-6 teams that are all battling for it. So we're just trying to stay in that pack, stay together, and keep going. And every night we mentioned Roman. There's been different people on different nights. Cole Smith, for example, the other night, you know, we're tied. against Washington. He comes out, gets a big goal to start that period. There's just moments in games that we're finding. And in our last two games are an example of that. We're tied going to the third, but we find a way somehow. And it's different people at different times. And when that happens, you know, different people stepping up, you're usually getting the right results.
Could you identify maybe a spark, whether it's an individual or even a game, a moment that kind of got you guys to, from, I guess, the first quarter of the season to the way you're playing here now?
I think there's a combination of a lot of things. I look at Andrew Burnett as a leader. You know, I mean, there's times where we're challenged early. I think he's an authentic guy who's himself, and he, you know, he's trying to push buttons every day with those around him. And you know, I think he's made a lot of good decisions on whether it's defensive pairings, whether it's, you know, lines that we've had. And I, you know, Barry Trotz has been around a long time. I know he's interacted and been around our players. His words of advice, and when he speaks, you know, that just all his years of experience are key. I look at Juuse Saros and Juuse Annunen, both goalies. You know, like, we didn't have the best start, but they've made, there's a lot of games that you can kind of look back and go, well, he made a huge save at the end of the period. We were down by a goal. We weren't down by two. And Juuse Annunen, he's won his last two games. So there's just like different moments at different times for everyone. Ryan O'Reilly, when you think of his name, you know, we were on a road trip a couple weeks ago. He's making the plays that we need. We're playing Utah, for example. Stamkos scores two goals. Ryan O'Reilly makes two great plays in the third that we win the game. So just different times, different people. And you mentioned Stamkos, obviously, you know, he's going to be in the Hall of Fame, gets the 600th goal, probably a neat moment with our team when he scores, everyone comes out. Mm-hmm. Just been kind of moments that like that where I think our team is a good feeling.
Well, Darby, I want to drill down a little deeper on the Stamkos front because, you know, Andrew Burnett has talked about him maybe changing the way that he plays a little bit and changing up areas that he likes to attack from, and you've seen him at the net front, you've seen him score goals in a lot of different ways on this stretch that he's in. From your vantage point, what have you seen from Stamkos maybe tactically that's allowed him to be as productive as he's been? We all know he can shoot the puck, but how have you seen him change his game over the past couple of months here?
Well, I think what he's always had is skating ability. And, you know, you see that on display on a nightly. When he's really going at his best, he's skating and delivering pucks. And I think everyone has that picture when he got his 600th goal as a one-time flank shot. Great pass by Forsberg, which has always been a staple. But there's, you know, when he skates and delivers pucks, he's dangerous. And I think when he shoots the puck, whether it goes in or it's a funny bounce, you know, it sort of loosens up their defense, whoever you're playing. And then there's a lot of good things that happen. You mentioned net front. He's gone to the net a lot. You know, you're not always going to get rewarded, but that's the area where you're going to score a ton of goals if it's not, you know, on that elite shot he has. So different ways for him. And again, I point to O'Reilly. He's played a lot with him. He's been with Paula. Whoever he plays with, it's, you know, when he skates, he's still very, very dangerous. And I look at his play over the last month and a half. Yes, he's being productive, but I think behind the scenes, things people probably don't see is just his leadership, his vocal to mention Roman as the captain. At times, you know, he has to be vocal in the right way. And I would say with Stamkos, you know, the right things are being said in a positive way. But I think there's also times where, you know, he's challenged the group behind the scenes that we've needed at different times where we started to get going and then we've dropped a little bit. So just those intangibles, too, from his experience for us are huge.
Darby, you know, Reed Schaefer obviously got a lot of size to him. You talk about a former first-round pick. He's come in and I think has fit in really well on that line with McCarron. What have you seen from Reed Schaefer, and where do you think his game is kind of trending towards right now?
He's done a great job. You know, you look at that line with McCarron and Smith. They play against top people. So he's learning how to handle experiences against top people, and it could even be Draisaitl or McDavid last game at times when you're on the ice against them. I think there's two parts to his game. One, you know, I think we expect or want him to get in, especially because he's a big, strong guy, not to run around and be, you know, run around all over the ice, but just really be effective on the forecheck and have a physical presence. I think that's one thing for him, you know, that we as a staff focus with him. And the other thing is get to the net. You know, when he gets to the net, I think his first goal he scored just getting to the net. He has that presence, and, you know, he can get in there and create room, create space. But those two parts of his game, if he can be a physical impact on the forecheck and get to the net, those are just two starters. There's a ton of other parts for him to learn, but I believe he's done a really good job. And, you know, again, a big line. And you look at our team in different ways. There's speed in areas. There's, you know, guys like Forsberg who are creative. But we need a straight north-south line that plays hard. That would be Schaefer, McCarron, Smith, who've done a really good job.
Well, Darby, it's been a lot of fun to watch. You guys are playing really well. It's going to be fun this weekend taking on Colorado and Vegas before coming back home next week. We appreciate your time as always. Thanks so much for being with us, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Have a great day.
Absolutely. You as well. Darby Hendrickson, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Preds in action taking on the Colorado Avalanche tomorrow on the road. The Colorado Avalanche, who had their home winning streak snapped the other day, Joe. So.
Maybe it's about
– they had 117 in a row.
They're about to – wait. Did they lose in regulation? No, that was
they
still
lost in overtime.
Because yeah, they haven't lost in regulation.
They have lost in regulation on the road, but they're 33-4-8 on the season,
yeah,
including a 19-0-3 record at home.
It's about time for a home regulation loss.
Give the Preds gun in there and hand them their first regulation L coming up tomorrow.
That would be two wins over the Avs.
That would be.
Would that not tell you they could beat him in a playoff series?
Well, that depends on who you ask, I guess.
I'm just saying. What evidence? I mean, when the teams play, what better evidence is there?
615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. The Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad is coming up next. We will have Charles Robinson coming up at 8 o'clock. All that ahead. Robbie and Rexroad, 1025 the game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Oh my God, Matt Gillahan, what are you doing?
He's got a big camera and he's asking about, you know, something that nobody's ever going to see in their life.
I do not think it's my camera.
Look at my lip, everybody.
You know, Vrabel, I used to enjoy the delicious taste of a Camel Light.
Oh my goodness, what are you doing?
I married my cousin last year.
It is that time of the day. Time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. By the way, appreciate Darby Hendrickson for being with us in the last segment. Brought to you by Arrow Exterminators, going beyond the call. Arrow Exterminators, a proud partner with the Nashville Predators. The Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad, brought to you by Functional Medicine of Tennessee. Heal from the inside out. Check them out at functionalmedicineoftennessee.net.
Darby Hendrickson, a professional who comes across as a professional when he speaks on the air.
Correct.
Unlike some people who shall remain nameless. And by the way, I officiated my cousin's wedding. I'm sorry that I said I married my cousin, okay? I officiated my cousin's wedding.
I married my cousin last year.
What were some of those awful sounds I was making? By the way, when I did the little Pavia thing a couple segments ago, I got a text from Katie who said, she just texted, don't ever do that again.
We did have a texter text in earlier asking if I could teach you like a class on when you're making those loud noises, just like briefly stepping away from the microphone.
Yeah, I know.
I told him I'd see what I could do.
You're really good at that. And I actually get closer to the microphone. Like, so I'm basically making out with the microphone. That's probably not the right way to do it. How about this?
Is it better? A little bit farther away.
Just adding more ammunition to the file. Look at Ian's already clipping it. Look at him.
Hopefully that was a little easier on the ears, everybody. Okay, well, I want to... I have something here for this segment, I swear. So I'm gonna say this right up the front. I'm not ripping Ty Simpson anyway. But I'm gonna read this quote. He talked to Chris Lowe for the story about going to the NFL, and he talked about the offers he was getting. So he told Chris Lowe, Tennessee, Miami, Ole Miss. Throwing $4 million at him. Hurricanes then got it all the way to $6.5 million.
Yeah.
It's a big number. So here's Ty Simpson's comment on that to Chris Lowe. Quote, for On Three, quote, everybody would just remember me as a guy who took all this money and went to Miami or Tennessee for his last year, but I was a captain. I put my hand and footprints in the cement at Denny Chimes. I would have lost everything that I built at Alabama, end quote. So, First of all, I mean, look, I like this sentiment of, I think there's a lot to it. And, you know, I'm biased a little bit on this because I did a story on him and I talked to all his family members. I talked to him. They're great. And I'm a fan of this kid. I think he's going to be a good player in the NFL. He was a leader. Really liked the kid. And I think that's a great sentiment in general. There is something about being part of a program, identifying with a program. When you're in the NFL, you don't have to say three teams. You say one. There is something about those, the networking and all those things. But I would the issue I take with that is I don't think he's going to those places just bailing on Alabama, right? Like it seemed that Alabama was ready to move on.
Yeah.
As we talked about, I think last week,
mm-hmm.
with their very talented five-star who sat out this week. So, I mean, to me, it's like if that is the case, then I don't think you're ruining to play 1 year at a place and just make a business decision. I don't think you're ruining anything. And, you know, I mean, we talked about this off the air, but it's like, I mean, when it comes down to it, like Ty Simpson is not going to be identified with a great era of Alabama football. It's not his fault, but like quarterbacks at Alabama, many of them, and lesser quarterbacks than him, by the way, have won national championships.
Yeah.
So I just, you know, I think that you could make a case for him to play another year of college football. He's going to go high in the draft. But this also brings up a texter who said earlier, well, why the heck, if you're going top five, and you're talking about Dante Moore with Oregon, why would you go back to school? Again, let's talk it through. So I don't know if Anthony Richardson would be in a different situation, but Anthony Richardson is on the fringe of even ever starting again in the NFL. Some of that's injuries and things like that, but he just – He, as we've seen, he's not accurate enough. He's not consistent enough. You have to go. You're going to go top five. But that's the thing. You don't have to go now. You don't. You can make $4, $5, $6 million. Maybe a little bit lower when Richardson left. But we were up, you know, that was what the Nico at that point had gotten the two, right?
Yep.
2.5 a year or whatever. Like, you don't have to go. And when you do go, now you start the clock. Okay, so Dante Moore goes to, who are you going to? The Jets. Okay, well, guess what? Whoever the heck else is in that quarterback room, nobody wants to see them. Dante Moore, we want to see Dante Moore.
Right.
Did we all not just see that he's not ready? I think we did. But okay, you go top five, you got to go. Okay, then go. And now you're on the Jets. And now, oh, yeah, well, you got to go on the field. Okay. And now you stink. And so now everything has been accelerated, including your exit from the list of viable starters in the NFL. That's, I mean, one good thing. You talked about the portal earlier. I agree. I mean, it's not a good thing for a lot of people related to college football, fans, coaches, players. But the money is something that actually can help people, one, obviously make money, which is good. Like, making money is good. But also, you can wait now until you're ready. You can give it another year. And the same thing is true, you know, in basketball. And in some cases, it's guys who are never going to play in the NBA, but they're really good college players. And it's like, great. So I want to, you know, Hunter Dickinson played 9 years, I think, in college basketball. So that's why. I think the whole mindset of, well, I got to go, should be out the window, especially at that position. And again, I'm kind of tying these two things together, Simpson and Moore. But yeah, I guess you could say, well, it would be really nice for the Vols if they had Ty Simpson for a year.
Sure.
I like, if that were the case, like, is Alabama, are they disavowing Ty Simpson? I don't think so. I mean, his teammates are still his teammates. Well, and his coach is still his coach.
To your point, it's also like, I think circumstances matter, right? Now, first off, if you're going from Alabama to Tennessee, yeah, there are going to be a lot of Alabama fans that wouldn't like that. But to your point, it's not like this was just purely Simpson considering this. Like, Bama clearly has given him an idea that they were at least thinking about moving on, right? So, like, that's a two-way street on that front. And I think your point on Moore is a good one. Like, let's say he comes out this year and he's probably most likely going to the Jets. Well, you're going to the Jets, which is already a bad idea, with a coach that was frankly awful this year, that I don't think the patience is going to be very high next year, which probably means there's some pressure to play the rookie quarterback immediately to show that you've got some promise coming up. And then what happens if he gets fired? You're a coach, or you're a quarterback that was drafted by a coaching staff that at that point is no longer there, and you're on your next coaching staff that can easily come in a year and say, oh, I didn't draft this guy. Like, that's how quick it goes sometimes.
Exactly.
In the NFL. So, and again, would Dante Moore have absolutely been drafted by the Jets? I have no idea. Maybe Ty Simpson will now. So, Ty, look forward to that.
Yeah.
But
Knoxville will sound pretty good to
you. It does kind of show you that I do think you gotta think these things out. I mean, the Richardson example is a good one. Yeah, he made good money getting drafted where he got drafted. Would it have been better off to go back and play college football and maybe hone your skills a little bit more to the where you when the time came where you stepped foot on the field in the NFL, would you have been better prepared at that point?
I mean, Dante Moore not that long ago was not playable in college football.
Yeah.
And so he goes to Oregon to sit behind Dylan Gabriel and ends up working out really well. He's good. Okay, I bet you a year from now, he'll look a lot more like an NFL quarterback. And by the way, I was wrong on Dylan Raiola. He knew this was happening, and he's going to do the same thing.
Yep.
So Dylan Raiola, five-star, started him at Nebraska. He's like, you know what?
He's going to be back.
I need to slow down here, throttle down, learn, watch Dante Moore, and then I'll be the starter the next year. I mean, I like that trend. That's one of the things that I like that's going on.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Charles Robinson will be with us coming up next from Yahoo Sports. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans head coaching search that is now going to be absent of John Harbaugh. That's coming up next. 94.9 The Fan, your home for Vanderbilt women's basketball. Tonight, the Commodores taking on Mississippi State at 5:30, pregame beginning at 5:15. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.